Welcome to the CXR Channel, our premier podcast for talent acquisition and talent management. Listen in as the CXR community discusses a wide range of topics focused on attracting, engaging, and retaining the best talent. We're glad you're here.
Hi, this is Chris Hoyt, president of CXR, and I'm really looking forward to the content in today's segmented podcast. We're kicking off part one of two parts on the topic of candidate and employee engagement. This CXR series is moderated by China Gorman and Lars Schmidt. In part one, they'll be sharing with you their insight and experiences around what's important when thinking about candidate and employee engagement. The second part of this series will include a quick chat with TA leaders from American Airlines, Enterprise Holdings, and Waste Management, where you'll hear what they're doing to keep both candidates and employees dialed in. So without any further delay, let's start listening.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to have you with us on our first Talent Management CXR call. Lars and I are super excited about standing up this new community and creating significant value, just as Jerry and Chris have done for many years on the talent acquisition side. I'll do just a really quick thumbnail introduction of myself. My career has been leading organizations that provide services and support to organizations for better organization effectiveness through the HR team. And so simply said, we sell stuff to HR. So I have two notable areas of expertise. One is I know how to run a business, and in particular, I know how to turn a business around. That's what my experience has been. And second is, I really know HR people because they've been my customer for more years than I'm comfortable sharing with you. So it's that expertise and my long friendship with both Chris and Jerry and Lars included that make me very excited to be part of the CXR family now. Employee engagement is something that I've really paid a lot of attention to as a leader before I knew it was a thing. And then running businesses that were in that space. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Lars is going to focus on candidate experience, candidate engagement. I'm going to focus on employee engagement. This is very interactive. As with many things in the HR space where technology is enabling better effectiveness and better success, I think we are frequently now really looking hard at technology and forgetting the very human aspects of really important topics. And for me, from my own experience as a CEO, from my experience working with other companies with solutions and services that support growing employee engagement, the most important thing is the human piece. It is leadership behavior. It is leadership consistency and consistency with stated organizational values. I think very, very clearly that organizations who have stated values, whether they popped out of the head of the CEO, popped out of the head of the HR leader, or a meticulous bottom-up process was followed to get organizational involvement and buy-in at every level, regardless of how your stated values, the ones that are painted on the wall, whether they're trite or unusual and specific, regardless of where they came from, leaders have to every single day, consistently day in and day out, be representative of those values. And so there are three behaviors within that context of living the values that I think are really critical. And without them, no technology solution, no cool cloud, living in the cloud connectivity solution is going to increase employee engagement if the following three things aren't happening with your leaders. And so the first one is leaders must be fair and trustworthy. So decisions have to be made on a fair basis. There can't be selective enforcement of policies. There can't be favoritism. You can't treat, you know, some people better than others. You can't treat people you know better than the people that you don't know in the organization. You must be fair in all things when you're making decisions, particularly that relate to employees. And the second half of that is, of course, you have to be trustworthy. You know, the old trite saying, your word is your bond. Well, your word is your bond when you're the CEO or you're in the C-suite. I had a recent example of that, a small organization that I I'm spending some time with. An organization that I'm close to right now does some large events around the world, and a new president of the organization came in and made a determination very quickly that his goal, he didn't say it was a promise, but his goal was that as the team, you know, 15 or 20 of the team traveled in support of these large meetings and expositions, that his goal was that every staff member would have their own hotel room, no sharing of rooms on the road. That was the goal. And since he came on board, we're coming up to one of our first big events, and he sent out an email yesterday that was clear, to the point, honest, that the circumstances around this next event were such that team members were going to have to room together. He was sorry. He acknowledged that he had said that the goal was not to do this, but the current circumstances meant that would have to happen. It was four sentences. It was quick. It was to the point. It acknowledged the goal, and then explained why the goal wasn't being met today. That level of honesty, that level of specificity, and that level of here's the news right now, I think did nothing but increase his standing as a fair and trustworthy leader. Leaders frequently have to give bad news. You can't pussyfoot around. You can't dress it up like it's not bad news. You can't blame it on somebody else. You have to own when you make those kinds of decisions. And we all can think of examples of leaders who were less than trustworthy, who were less than fair, and we know what happens in those cultures. So number one, be fair and trustworthy. Number two, be approachable and personable. So this is more for larger organizations, but I think everybody on the call has probably been in that uncomfortable situation where you're in the elevator and the CEO or one of the C-suite leaders gets on the elevator with you. Clearly, they don't know anybody's name. Clearly, they're uncomfortable being in confined spaces with employees, and they don't say anything. And you can tell by their body language they can't wait to get out of the elevator. That doesn't work. That says, I don't know my people. That says, I'm uncomfortable with my people. That says, I don't have anything in common with my people. And so the best example I ever saw of that, I was a new employee in an organization. It was exactly that scenario. The elevator was full. A voice says, wait, 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 I'm coming. And it was, in fact, the CEO. And she came in, and it was a packed elevator. She was the last one in. She turned around back to the door and said, you all know who I am. I don't know who any of you are. Would you please introduce yourself and tell me where you were? It was brilliant. And so I was literally like standing right in front of her. And I said, well, I'm China Gorman. I've been here for 2 days. And she said, oh, that's so great. Welcome. And by the time she didn't get to everybody in the elevator, she was going all the way up. But so she got to actually talk to everybody. And then other people came in and out. It was a brilliant, brilliant example of how to be present, how to be approachable and personable. The era of, you know, the top flowing sacrosanct and nobody can get up there is over. And there are lots and lots of really practical, easy ways for CEOs and the C-suite to engage, to be approachable, and to be personable. The third one and the final one that in many ways is the most important is leaders must, whether you're a supervisor, a manager, a director, a VP, a C-suite member, has to provide and acknowledge meaning. So when somebody does something right, you call it out. When somebody hits an unachievable goal, you call it out. That's why the proliferation of reward recognition programs is going through the roof. And that's why you see such great data coming from organizations that provide reward and recognition stuff that show, you know, great financial, numerical kinds of outcomes when leaders start to really pay attention to understanding when somebody does something right or well or unexpectedly good, and then acknowledges what it means, actually what it means to the business. Celebrating wins and recognizing when things go well is really the key. If you really want to drive commitment and engagement, these are the three things. You have to be fair and trustworthy consistently, always. You have to be approachable and personal. You have to be a person if you want people to follow you. And you have to provide and acknowledge meaning, especially as we have these younger cohorts joining the workforce. They want to know how everything they do ties to the mission, ties to this year's budget, ties to this year's corporate goals, because they want meaning. They want to be connected to the success of the business. So just a few sort of, not random, actually organized, but a few thoughts about what's the bedrock of engagement, regardless of whatever program you have to increase it, regardless of whatever level of technology you have to strengthen it. It really starts at the top, and it starts with human beings interacting in an honest, fair, personal way with other human beings. So one of the things I like to say is that when you do that well, everything you measure that you want to go up will go up, and everything you measure that you want to have go down absolutely will go down. So you want sales to go up, you want profitability to go up, you want time to service to reduce, you want turnover to reduce, you, all the things you want to have go up will go up, and all the things you want to have go down will go down. So that's kind of a quick blurb about how, at least how I think and what my experience both as a leader and as someone who spent some time in and around HR really looks at the value of employee engagement. So as we move on to our next topic, be thinking about either examples in your own experience or your own career. If we have time, we'd love to hear some of those about a leader that was fair and trustworthy and what that meant to the culture. Somebody, a leader who was approachable and personable and what that meant to employee engagement, and leaders who've been clear and consistent in providing and acknowledging meaning and what that has meant to things like retention and talent attraction and those kinds of things. And so speaking of talent attraction and candidate experience, we'll slip that in. I'd love to introduce you to my partner in crime, Lars Schmidt.
Well, China, thanks so much. Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for helping us kick things off on the internal side. As China mentioned, my name is Lars Schmidt. I've spent a little over 20 years in the space. Most of that has been on the corporate side, running global HR and recruiting teams at companies like Ticketmaster, Magento, and NPR. About 5.5 years ago, I left NPR to start my own firm, Amplify. And so kind of what I do there is a mix of consulting and HR executive search. And then also spend a fair amount of time with China and Chris and Jerry, speaking, going to events around the world, talking about trends. My real kind of passion and curiosity is modern HR, what I frame as 21st century HR. So this evolution of kind of legacy, personnel driven HR to what it's becoming, which is a very different animal. And that space really excites me. So we're excited that you're here. I know that some of you are already CXR members. I know some of you are probably new to CXR. You're kind of testing the waters here for the first time. One thing just to mention, you know, CXR, for those of you who are new, it is a very interactive environment. So this is an area built on kind of the foundation that Jerry and Chris had created, where this isn't about anybody kind of preaching on high about practices and things you should be doing. This is a peer community. You're all collaborating with each other. With that as a backdrop, I think when you look at candidate engagement and how that's evolved, really, even if you just narrow in on the last 10 years, there's been a massive shift that's taking place. And I think, you know, starting at the beginning of that time, you know, 10 years ago, we were in the middle of a recession. And that certainly impacted how companies hired. And I think that there was a certain, you know, hubris that recruiting and companies and hiring managers built during that window of time where, and I'm sure for those of you who are doing recruiting who are watching, you know, you've all worked with those hiring managers that have given you the, oh, you should want to work here. You know, you should show me why I should give you the offer. You should, you know, jump through all my hoops to be a part of this company. And for companies that still think like that, guess what? They're losing. You know, the phrase war for talent is BS, so I won't use it unless I'm mocking it, but it is a competitive hiring landscape. And so if you have those legacy mindsets in either your recruiters or your hiring managers or your hiring systems, you're in trouble because it's a candidate's market right now, especially when you're going after in-demand talent like, you know, engineers or really that, you know, that spectrum of who's in demand goes much deeper than engineers. So that's something to really think about. You can't talk about candidate experience without talking about this idea of black hole applications, right? And I think that is something, it's tied to the first point around hubris. You know, I think companies are, there's a couple layers to it. It's not a black and white issue, but part of the recent challenge is that, and this is starting to shift, but as the field of employer branding has matured over the last couple of years, and certainly in the earlier stages of this iteration of employer branding, companies got really good at selling the crap out of their sizzle, right? These are all the great things about what it's like to work here, but they didn't do a really good job of painting a complete picture. And what did that do? That clogged their recruiting engine with applicants. It brought lots of people to the organization because they were, you know, smitten with all these cool, sexy things that the company was selling without actually providing a balanced view of like, yes, it's that, but it's also this. We often didn't get the this. And so, you know, companies were getting inundated with applications and their recruiting apparatus just wasn't built to support that. And so they didn't. And that's not a new phenomenon. The idea of the black hole has been happening for a long time, but it puts a lot of pressure on recruiting teams to make sure that they are mindful of how they're treating every one of those applicants, not just the people that actually get to the interview or finalist phase. So there's a lot of pressure on recruiting teams to do that. I think if you look at recruiting as a whole, you know, recruiting back in the day was kind of a black box function. Right? It was the role of the recruiters to be kind of the intermediary and in many cases buffer between candidates and hiring managers. You know, that was the recruiter's job. We don't want these candidates accessing our hiring managers. We want to be the gateway. We want to be the kind of conduit through which all conversations flow. That's changing, right? Companies are looking at tools like you know, Facebook Live and live streaming and doing live interactive AMAs or Ask Me Anything with their hiring teams and actually allowing candidates to watch those, encouraging them to watch that, pushing them to watch that. Because what better way as a prospective hire for a new company to get a feel for what that job is going to be like than to actually see on screen your manager talking with their team about the work they do, how they do it, the tools they use, everything about what it's like to actually do that job in that environment. That compared to a job description, right? What's going to be more compelling for me as a candidate to help me understand if that's a place that I may want to work? And so companies are starting to get really more sophisticated with that. And I think you need to, because you're also in an environment today where, you know, the glass doors of the world, love them or hate them, they're there and candidates are using them. And, you know, hopefully they're taking what they see with a grain of salt, but they're there and they're checking out the results. And it's not just Glassdoor. There's lots of platforms where candidates and employees and job seekers and applicants can leave reviews about your company. So you've got to be mindful of that. The type of candidate, gone are the days that you could hope that you could have a crappy candidate experience and no one will know. I'm sorry, but they just are. People will know. If you treat them well, they're going to know. If you treat them poorly, they're going to know. So I think that those are all things that you have to take into account when you're designing your recruiting and candidate engagement process. I think they're all really important. The other piece is, and this is, you know, as a tech guy and as a, you know, kind of technology and innovation and just evolution fan, we also have to meet candidates where they are, right? It wasn't long ago where we could have a career site and we could have overly dense job descriptions on there, and we could ask people to apply through the ATS, right? Or even email their resume. They're a small company, and that's good enough. That's not good enough anymore. You know, candidates want to be met where they are. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about the CXR kind of community is you have many leading organizations from all around the world that are doing really innovative practices and then actually sharing them. So like one example would be McDonald's. McDonald's recently announced that they have created a Alexa-driven application function where job seekers can actually apply via voice. It's not purely voice, then there's a few steps that they have to connect to that, but they can initiate that process via voice. That's a big shift with how people used to apply. And McDonald's is no stranger to innovation. You know, a couple of years ago, they had a whole hiring campaign over the summer on Snapchat using Snaplocations, allowing, obviously they're going after younger talent, Snapchat users, but allowing people to apply via Snapchat. And that's massive. So the way that we can engage talent is fundamentally different, and it's only going to continue to change. And so to me, that's what really makes this field really exciting, especially when you kind of blend the internal talent management side and the external candidate experience side. And I think, again, taking it back to the CXR context, you know, the well established TA side, there's so much kind of connection and opportunity for creativity, because the reality is HR and recruiting is a creative discipline today. And that definitely was not always the case. That is absolutely the case today. And it's exciting, but it also puts a lot of pressure on you as practitioners to keep pace with what's happening and to kind of bring that organizational intelligence or that external intelligence into your organization to design your practices. So I think that's really important. And another piece to talk about as we talk about innovative practices, some companies are actually looking at candidate experience now in the context of being a profit center. And there's a couple, you know, well-established case studies in that, one several years old, but I think is still profound. Again, another CXR member, Hilton. Hilton, their head of TA rolled out a program years ago where basically if you were a veteran and you applied, you were automatically granted gold status for Hilton hotels. And then they were actually able to track the amount of veterans that were booking rooms at Hilton with that advantage. And they brought in tens of millions of dollars from that campaign alone. That was a recruiting generated profit center. You know, Virgin Media had another well-documented case study several years ago in HR open source where it was a bit of the inverse. They had a horrible candidate experience process, and they found that it was so bad that they were losing customers. People were so frustrated with their experience recruiting that they canceled their service. They moved to other companies. And so they decided to really, you know, double down on building an exceptional candidate experience. And when they did that, they found they actually brought back customers. I think that it was about £4.5 million that they actually brought in through that effort. So again, massive campaigns. And these are ways for practitioners to start thinking about the impact they can have, you know, beyond just designing who's going to interview who and when. I think candidate experience and candidate engagement goes much deeper than that. And so one of the other trends that that I'm excited, I think we'll actually hear about in a moment, is another CXR member. What we're going to do is we're really fortunate to have several Candies winners. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Candies, it's the Candidate Experience Awards. We have several winners within the CXR community that I'm going to turn it over to in a minute just to share a little bit about how they do what they do. But one of them is Enterprise Holdings, and Marie Artem is going to be here. And they've adopted, again, they take candidate experience very seriously, and they adopted an approach a couple years ago where they actually include compensation ranges in job descriptions. So as an applicant, I'm reviewing job descriptions. I'm able to go in and actually see not just, you know, what I'm going to do, not just what skills I need to have, not just where I'm going to be working, not just more about what the company does, but like, what's my comp going to be? That's a huge factor that I think too often we don't include. And that could be one of the most important factors for some candidates when deciding whether they can work for your company or not, whether they're going to evaluate it. So it's an exciting time to be in this space. There's so much going on. And with that, I want to actually turn it over to a few CXR members and again, Candy's winners, who can talk a little bit more about some of their practices on both the talent attraction side and candidate attraction side engagement, and also on the employee engagement side.
You've just heard part one of the two-part series on candidate and employee engagement. As a reminder, in part two, we'll talk with TA leaders from Waste Management, American Airlines, and Enterprise Holdings, where they share what they're doing and seeing in regards to this hot topic. If you're a CXR member, you can continue the conversation in any of our online exchanges. And if you're not a member, I'd encourage you to check out the advantage of being part of the most premier talent community available. Head over to www.cxr.works and join the conversation.
Thanks for listening to the CXR channel. Please subscribe to CXR on your favorite podcast resource and leave us a review while you're at it. Learn more about CXR at our website, cxr.works, facebook.com and twitter.com/careercrossroads, and on Instagram @careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.